Welcome to the Bidwell Presbyterian Church Podcast. The church is located next to California State University, Chico. For updates on services, congregational care, and community outreach, please visit our website at bidwellpres.org. The following sermon, Not So Sure of Self, part of the series Cross-Examined, was given by Pastor Ray Medina on Sunday, February 18, 2024. May you experience God's grace and joy on the journey.
It's always a good day when God calls us to look at the invitation of Jesus for us. And especially it's a good day because it's the first Sunday of Lent. That's right. And I don't know if you know this, but that means that today, if you decided to give something up, you're off the hook. And everybody looks at me funny when, if you didn't grow up practicing Lent, that's a thing, right? That every Sunday is a foretaste of Easter, so you lift the fast, right? So don't look at me weird if I offer you a chocolate chip cookie in Fellowship Hall. Don't say, get behind me, Satan. Because that's weird. It makes me feel bad. And also, it's great. Like, if you decided to give something up and practice Lent, like, be it video games or social media or sugar or sports or politics or hating your neighbor, you can indulge today. Just go for it. You know? It's great. It's just a gift. Boom. It's built in. So, yeah, it's the first Sunday of Lent also. And I know that not all of you practice Lent, because we're Protestant, not Catholic, so go Calvin. It's optional, right, to engage the season of Lent. It's like really, some of us take it seriously, others not so much, and there's no judgment there, and others take it seriously because it's a great way also to you know, gain your fitness goals. It really is. Like, 1 year I gave up sugar, and I noticed that I felt better and looked better, go figure. And I was like, thank you, God, for my bod. I mean, you know, and like, so, and the reason I bring that up is because, yeah, I think we all have various ways we come at Lent, and self-denial more generally, like what we choose to give up. Because it's optional, and sometimes it's even convenient to give something up. It fits with another goal in life. But mostly the idea that self-denial in religion or in spirituality is a good thing may sound funny or strange or even counterintuitive in our world. Because why would we deny ourselves when what the goal of life is to love ourselves? Like, I just want to present a quote from you, or to you, rather, from Thomas Aquinas. This was a monk, medieval monk, you know. This is in his Summa Theologica, his masterpiece, really, Thomas Aquinas. He says, all sinful acts spring from inordinate self-love, which hinders us from loving God above all else and tempts us to turn away from him. And I just wonder, like, how do you receive that? That self-love is the root, or inordinate self-love is really the root of what hinders us. Does that just sound wrong-headed, given what we know in contemporary psychology? I mean, that really, like, one of the things we ought to be doing is learning to love ourselves and have compassion on ourselves and treat ourselves and self-care and take care of ourselves. Like, Thomas Aquinas, what does he know? Really, how medieval. But it's not just Thomas Aquinas, it turns out, who calls us to deny ourselves, not just in the season of Lent, but like throughout our lives. It's Jesus. So we're going to read this text. This text is like Jesus laying down the call to discipleship, no frills, no sugarcoating anything. Jesus just saying, this is what it is to follow me, right? This is what it means. And before we do, before we get into this text, will you pray with me a prayer that we pray that God might open our hearts to the living word among us? Will you pray with me? God in Christ, we thank you for this season because it invites us into something that is participating in your story, Jesus, in your journey to the cross. And so, though that may not be for everyone, certainly this journey to the cross is for us, no matter how we participate in the season of Lent. And Lord, as I read these words and really try to interpret and proclaim them, I pray your Holy Spirit would open our minds and hearts that the word proclaimed might also be received in the good soil of faith, that we together might bear fruit in your world. We pray this in Christ Jesus' name, and all God's people said. All right, so I'm going to set this up, this text. Okay, so Luke 9, so we're 9 chapters deep. And at this point, Jesus is like, and you know how he had followers and he had groupies, Jesus did. And so he turns to his followers, the people who were like right on his heels, and he said, you know, who do people say I am? And he follows this up with, who do you say I am? And they're like, Jesus, and I'm paraphrasing Luke here, you have calmed the storm? Wow. You raised up that dead girl? That was weird, but also amazing. Never seen that before. You fed all these people multiplying food? Like, that was amazing. You, like, cast out demons? Man, we're in. You are the God man. You are all those words, Messiah, anointed one, all that stuff. We're in. So this is how Jesus responds to their assertion that he is the one, the anointed one. He sternly ordered and commanded them not to tell anyone. Okay. And then he said, the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed. And hang out here for a sec, Alan. And on the third day, be raised. So hang out here. Jesus, he saw the cross coming. He totally knew it was coming. Our journey in Lent is a journey with him of anticipating the cross-shaped path to spiritual transformation. Because that's Jesus' journey, so it's our journey. He is human, fully, and he is the model human, you might say. And so when we look at that, that sounds wrong. It sounded wrong to his followers. They were like, what? They did not see the cross coming. He saw the cross coming. But then without other explanation, he goes on, and now we can go on. He says, then he said to them all, not just the followers, but the groupies, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will save it. What does it profit them if they gain the whole world but lose or forfeit themselves? Those who are ashamed of me and my words, of them the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and the holy angels. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God. Friends, this is the word of the Lord, and so we can say in response together, thanks be to God. I just want to do a deep dive and camp in this text today for us as we think about what Lent is and really what self-denial is in the Christian life. Because some may think that this call from Jesus is for especially pious, really religious people, right? Priests and monks and pastors and maybe Oprah. But the text says that it's to all. Like, there's a distinguishing feature in how the gospel writers narrate the saying of Jesus. They all say, well, he was talking to his disciples, but now Luke says he's speaking to all. Mark, when he gives us this saying, he makes it even more explicit. He says, Jesus called to himself his disciples and the crowds. Those who want to deny themselves, pick up their cross. Or those who want to follow me, rather, must deny themselves, pick up their cross. So the invitation is universal. It's to everybody. It's to you, whether you've been in church your whole life or you're brand new today. You don't even know why you're here. Maybe your Valentine invited you, or that was the whole relationship. It's like you come with church or it's over. And you're here and you don't know why. And what I'm saying is this is an invitation to you to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Jesus. It's not just for like people who really believe. It's for the agnostic or the person deconstructing. Yeah, it's for you. It's a universal call to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. It's for everybody. Arms wide open. So that's one. And then, but let's not stop there, because some think that this, that really to grow as a Christian and to make progress on the spiritual journey, as my upbringing, what I learned was read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. Like biblical knowledge and church attendance, like three times a month. I know three is a lot. But like if you want to make progress, it's like that's the bread and butter of Christian discipleship. But what Jesus actually says here is not biblical knowledge and church attendance, as important as those things are, but self-denial and cross-bearing. That is the foundation to all Christian spirituality. That is the bread and butter of discipleship, is to learn how to say no to self and to bear your cross and to go after Jesus. And that word choice that Jesus said it, it's his words. He doesn't just say follow me, he says go after me. Those who want to go after me, pursue. This is a pursuit. So it's a universal call, and it's foundational to the way we follow Jesus. That is self-denial and cross-bearing. And then, not only this, but some may think that this is a one-time mountaintop decision that you make to follow Jesus, like at a middle school camp or a inter-varsity rally or after you read the book, The Case for Christ, and you're, I'm convinced now. Or after you saw the movie, The Passion of the Christ, and you were moved, and you said yes to Jesus, and it's a one-and-done thing. You have, denied yourself and taken up your cross for his sake. But what Jesus said here is instructive. He says, those who want to follow me must deny themselves and take up their cross daily. Every day, it is the perpetual, ongoing call of Jesus to self-denial and cross-bearing. It is universal. It is foundational. It is ongoing. And not too many people like that, right? That's hard. Wouldn't you rather Jesus have said? He would have sounded so much better to us if he would have been like, I'm going to the cross so that you can follow your heart. That's the whole message. I have nothing else. I came all the way to earth to tell you that. Or if he said, I'm going to the cross so you can follow your dreams. Your dreams are the most, that's all the kingdom talk is about that. It's about you and your dreams. He didn't say that. He could have said, I'm going to the cross so that you can just really be yourself. You can be yourself. He didn't say that. Wouldn't it be better if he were more like Buddy Jesus? You know Buddy Jesus? Hey, it's cool, man. Or hippie Jesus, like love and peace. Or liberal Jesus, really resist the structures that oppress you. Or conservative Jesus, resist the people that oppress you. It's the same message. it's gospel Jesus. He doesn't say that. He says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And I know how that sounds. It sounds like nails on a chalkboard. To me, it does, because again, healthy psychological practice, love yourself, enjoy yourself, treat yourself. But I don't want to suggest, because some may think that what this means to deny oneself is to reject oneself. See, we can go overboard. And throughout Christian history, we've had examples of people who really the point of good, genuine spiritual faith is to tell God how miserable they are. And to make sure that everyone around them also knows it. I'm horrible. And that's like a masochistic faith, self-rejection. Or to help people with absolutely no boundaries or no limits. Right? Like, that's what good spirituality is, just to forget yourself in all circumstances. But notice that Jesus, and I love how Dallas Willard says that he's a master teacher, even though he's stating things in the negative, and he is. He wants to imprint something on our minds so that even if we don't get it, we can still work at it. That's what Willard says. It's great. Because notice how Jesus says this. He says, after laying down the gauntlet, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me, he says, because those who want to save their life will lose it. If you are so adamant about preserving your constructed self, that's one way to put it, you'll lose it. You'll lose what life's really all about. But if they lose their life for my sake, they will save it. So notice that Jesus wants you to get a life, a real and true life. That word, if we can geek on Greek, just for a sec, life, psyche, in the Greek, it's where we get our word. Psychology means, translates life or inner self or soul or spirit. So if you want to gain yourself, your true self, not your constructed self, not the self that everyone else tells you you ought to be, not even the self that you've dreamed up as self-fulfilling, but the self that is, as Colossians tells us, hidden with Christ in God, the true self. The self, as the book of Revelation tells us, is inscribed on a rock and handed to you by Christ himself. Your true identity. That is the goal. Jesus wants you to get a life, but he also wants you in that way to become your true self. And that involves some form of self-denial. The constructed self must be relinquished on the path of spirituality and to make transformation even possible. We have to relinquish it. And I know it sounds weird, but it actually doesn't sound weird. Not even in culture. There was this movie I once saw that I think said it in a way. It was The Birdman. You ever see that film with Michael Keaton and Emma Stone? Won an Academy Award. No one really cares, but people watched it. I watched it. And there's this scene. It's a spectacular scene. Michael Keaton is this washed-up actor. His daughter, Emma Stone, comes and visits him from a drug rehabilitation program. And there's this scene where he's talking. His name is Regan. Her name is Sam. And Sam is writing on pieces of toilet paper. She's marking them, like each piece of toilet paper. She's like this, little numerical dashes. And he's like, what are you doing? And she's like, well, I learned this in drug rehab. And she rolls out the toilet paper on the desk, on his desk, his dressing room desk. And she says, so this is all of human history. Each dash is 1,000 years. And there's about 150 dashes per piece of toilet paper. That's the totality of time as we understand it. And then she picks up one little piece of toilet paper with dashes on it. And she goes, and this is human history. And she goes, I think they were trying to remind us how much our ego and self-obsession are really worth. That's brilliant. It's like when we contemplate the vastness of time and space, we recognize that to be so self-focused, inordinate self-love, Thomas Aquinas, self-obsession, is a farce. It's false. But one thing that movie doesn't give us, or that scene rather, is a vision for what to say yes to. Because it's really hard. It takes an enormous amount of energy, I don't know if you noticed, to deny yourself. Like to deny yourself your sinful patterns and your destructive behaviors. If you're wise enough to even know what those are, it's hard to say no to them. It's hard to say no to your addictions and mine. Some are addicted to porn. It's a real thing these days because it's accessible, it's affordable, and it's anonymous, so they say. So it's really easy to get in that trench. And literally, people who study addiction tell us that our brains change when we repeat patterns over and over and over again, and we see them as reward or a form of soothing. Neural pathways, right, Lynn? Our brains are literally changed by our behaviors, and it's really hard to undo that neural framework. So it's hard to say no to porn. It's hard to say no, likewise, to buying something new every time you feel either really elated or really bad. This addiction. It's hard to say no to turning everyone into a rival or a competition. Sometimes it's hard to deny yourself that. Or it's hard to deny yourself the self-justified need to breed contempt or envy or bitterness, especially when you're on social media. Very hard to say no to your need, perhaps, to always help people without discerning your limits. Self-denial is work. Henry Nouwen once said that if I'm going to say no to my lust and my needs for affirmation, I'm going to need to find something 10 times more powerful to say yes to. So what is that? Well, for Jesus, this is important. This is where we get to the good news of self-denial. For Jesus, right, he said literally, some standing here will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? Is it heaven? Some think people say that's heaven. But that's not what he said. Some people standing here will not taste death until they see it. So here's the kingdom of God in Jesus' teaching. It's wherever the will of God is done on earth as it is in heaven. That is the kingdom. And that, friends, myself, is because we have to take the cross-shaped path. See, it doesn't feel good. It is not your joy and peace to do the will of God. Not at first, and not most of life, to be honest. It's work. It takes effort to say no to your stuff. Because we all spell happiness a certain way in our culture, friends, and you know, you're attached to things, I'm attached to things. Look at the wrong way we spell happiness with too many P's. There's too many P's up here. These are the things that I find myself when I read this list. One, two, or three, I am like, oh my gosh, yes, pleasure, praise, power, prestige, position, popularity, productivity, wow, possessions, how about this, perfection. That's not the grace-filled life. That's the life that we're told will lead to salvation, the life, our true identities. But it's false, says Jesus. That's the life you let go of. That's what you surrender. And that's hard. Because if you're like me, I look at that list and go, ooh, a couple of those, if I really look into myself, kind of zing. It would be very hard for me to let go of that P. You know, it's like Gollum. It's like, that's my precious. In fact, there's this this news story I heard that really summed it up for me. It's an old story. I think this is early 2000s. There was this fire in this apartment in the Bronx, and Tresinda, a young mom of a newborn infant boy, was still trapped inside. And she had opened the window of her apartment, and the fire crew was assembling. The fighters were assembling. Paramedics were still on the way. And I mean, she was trapped with her baby boy. She was holding him out the windows to avoid the smoke. And the firefighters were like, you got to drop him. You got to drop him. They had no net. And Tresinda, I mean, she's probably 26. I don't know how she was. She let go of her baby boy. And that boy fell into the arms of Felix Velasquez. Baby, what a catch. And they did mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. The baby lived, and Tresinda herself, soon after, the firefighters got in, rescued her also. And she had said, you know, an interview afterwards, she had said, I just was praying to God, God, save my precious boy. But that's sometimes my point in telling that story, is what it feels like to let go of our precious peas. It's like dropping a baby out the window. We have to put our total trust and confidence in the goodness of God, in his ability to catch us. What does it look like, people of God, for you to surrender your precious pea into the arms, not of Felix Velasquez, but of Jesus? Can you feel that? I can feel that. That's hard. That's the work of self-denial. But it's good work, friends. A couple of contexts where this is just so, like, really obvious. If you don't deny yourself in marriage, if you don't deny your need to have the last word or to fight or flight in conflict, if you don't deny yourself sometimes the tendency to think that your spouse is standing in the way of your precious pea, it's really hard to love your covenant partner if you don't do that on the daily. It's really hard. Divorce is sometimes unavoidable. I understand. I get that. I see that. That's the real story of human life. But man, self-denial, I mean, that's what makes covenant love work. Paul says it like this: love never insists on its own way. It never keeps up. It always keeps up. This is 1 Corinthians 13. It's the text we read at weddings. It's deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. A lot of through marriage, and there's some beautiful things along the way, but man, it's the daily, ongoing, foundational way that discipleship takes shape. Addiction is another way. Did you know Dallas Willard says every single Christian should be on a 12-step program? Because we're all addicted. We're all addicted. I mean, that's not reserved for especially bad people. That's the discipleship of the kingdom, because the first step is I'm powerless and I need the grace of God to save my life because I am over-attached. I cannot say no. So Lord, give me the yes. I don't know where you are on the path of Christian spirituality. You may, like I said earlier, be here and go, whew, I don't even get what you're talking about, man, preacher boy. But I want to offer you an invitation, like, today. Because it's today. Today is what God gives us. And today, if you've never been baptized, if you've never said yes to Jesus, if you've never prayed a prayer that said, Jesus, I surrender my heart, soul, and mind to you. I want to follow you. I want to go after you. And it's everything. If you've never done that, please pray with myself or Rachel or Lauren Mesa or Henry or Greg. We're going to be up here doing what we do, milling around, shaking hands. But I want to offer you that invitation to come with us and pray with us. Because we'd love to be like, welcome to the kingdom of God with you. I mean, it's a journey. It's going to be a journey to relinquish yourself fully, but you got to start somewhere, and today you said yes. On the other hand, if for you, you've said yes, you've had the moment, remember that this is a daily. Jesus invites you to do this every day. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. And you must, friends, have a vision of what that means. It means the you that God intended and created to do what ought to be our great joy and peace, the will of God on earth as it is in heaven, to be that kind of person everywhere. That's the vision, the goal. So to conclude, let's just immerse ourselves in Hebrews 12, because it's not just about suffering, it's about joy. Listen to Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. It says, I love this text, that Jesus, in light of who Jesus is, in light of all the heroes of faith, let us strip off the sin that clings so closely and let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen.